67.
They're coming this way, said Vic. She managed to hide the tremor in her voice.
Clive and Debbie squeezed each other's hands and turned their knuckles white. Zila still stared up at the things in the sky.
They're coming for us, said Andrew. Coming to reward the faithful.
Tim leveled his right hand pistol at Andrew's eye. I think I was very clear about you not talking, he said. The throat cleared and Tim whipped around again. Oscar stood at the door. Mandy lurked behind him, her eyes wide. She looked like a cornered animal and shrieked when the pistol came to rest in her direction. The building manager muttered a string of German words Nate was pretty sure were swears. He walked into the apartment and shook his head.
I warned you, he said. What have you idiots done?
Vic glared at him.
What do you mean? What did we do? Forget that. Where the hell are we?
We are somewhere we are not supposed to be, said Oscar.
Mandy scampered past Oscar and pushed herself into the corner between Clive's tool chest and the wall. Her eyes were wide and her cheeks were lined with tears. Clive stepped away from the window.
How did we get here?
How did the building move? Asked Zila.
Do not be stupid, Oscar told her. The building did not move.
Nate blinked. What?
It is still in Los Angeles, said Oscar. Right at Beverly and Kenmore. If it was not in Los Angeles, we would all be dead by now.
Roger waved his arm at the window.
If we're in Los Angeles, what the fuck is all that?
Oscar raised an eyebrow.
That is not in the building, is it? That is where we are not supposed to be.
It's precisely where we're supposed to be, said Andrew.
Last warning, Tim told him. Oscar glared down at the bound man.
You are the one who did this?
Andrew pressed his lips together in a smug smile and tipped his head at Tim.
Yes, said Debbie. It was him and these other people.
She kept her eyes up and didn't look at either the prisoners or the bodies on the floor.
They broke in here, beat Clive and me, and opened the walls. Then they just started flipping switches and pulling levers.
She walked over and wrapped her arms around Mandy. The other woman was still wide-eyed. Her lips moved, but didn't make a sound. Nate thought the farmer's daughter was deep in shock. He shot a glance at Vic and saw the same thought in her eyes.
Is there anyone else in the building? Nate asked.
I think the guy across the hall from me works the night shift, said Roger. He's probably not home.
Oscar nodded.
Mr. Cook, he said. Also Mr. Brogan in apartment 1 and Miss Little in 24. All of them work late. I'm not so sure about Mr. Kamen in 11 or Mrs. Knight in 4.
Debbie and Vic both jumped at the mention of Mrs. Knight. Roger threw a look over his shoulder.
Think she's dead, he said matter-of-factly.
Oscar's brows twitched, and he sighed.
That is too bad, he said. She was a good tenant.
Oscar, Nate said, it's time to talk. What do you know about this place? We need to know everything. The older man looked at their faces and sighed again.
I do not have all the facts, he said. Only what they told me when I was given the job and some things I also figured out on my own. It's like knowing a car needs gasoline to run, but not knowing what it does with the gasoline that makes it run.
Who gave you the job?
Asked Vic.
A man in a suit. Oscar put up his hands and shrugged. I think he was from the government.
Why? Asked Tim.
My paychecks. They come from the Department of the Treasury. They have the Statue of Liberty on them.
What branch of the government? Asked Tim. What office? Oscar shrugged again. Nate gestured for him to continue.
What's going on? Do you know?
Oscar's fingers fiddled in the air in front of him.
Picture a lock and a key, he said. The key goes into the lock, so most of it is on the one side, but part of it is between the two sides. Does this make sense?
A few of them nodded. Vic tilted her head in her thoughtful way.
Go on, said Nate.
Oscar's head bobbed up and down.
This is the Kavach building. It is a key built to ensure a certain doorway stays locked shut. Do not ask me how or why, I do not know.
He held up his hands with the palms facing each other.
Now, what many people do not consider is that a key can fit into both sides of the lock. The same part stays between the sides, but it does not matter which side the rest of the key is on.
He wiggled one set of fingers, then the other.
That is what they have done. They have altered the balance and put us on the other side of the lock.
Andrew's mouth was a flat line.
Question, said Vic. You're saying we're on the other side, but is the key still in the lock? Is it still doing what it's supposed to be doing?
Oscar nodded.
It is. If it was not, as I said, we would all be dead.
Dead how?
Asked Clive. Oscar gestured at the window.
From them, I believe.
Super ginormous alpha predators,
murmured Zila.
Damn, said Roger.
He was back at the window.
They're really close.
Nate followed Veek to the window. Even Tim stepped closer, still keeping a clear line to their prisoners. The whale things coasted a few hundred feet above the ground. It was like watching planes make their final approach to a runway. The smaller ones led the way, wind rippling the skin of their wings. The ground swirled as their passing stirred up dust and dirt. The walls shook as they passed over the building and the air rumbled like a brief storm. Sand and stones rattled against the windows. A large rock made a spiderweb that stretched across one of the recently replaced panes. Something solid hit the wall outside with a large thunk. The chandelier chimed as it swung back and forth.
Shit,
muttered Roger. He had one arm around Zila.
Everybody okay?
Mandy sobbed and Debbie hugged her tight.
Everyone get away from the window, said Tim. Now.
Nate glanced at him, then back out at the wasted hillside. The Great One, the largest of the beasts, came at them. Its tentacles writhed like a nest of worms. It was night beneath it. The beast blocked out the sky, and it was still hundreds of yards away. Every sweep of its wings, each one bigger than a football field, pounded air against the ground like an artillery strike. The hill broke apart under the relentless battering, and the rubble was dragged along in the monster's wake, a tidal wave of earth. The residents of Kavach took a few steps back. Then they threw themselves behind the couch and under the table. Debbie dragged Mandy down behind the toolbox, and Clive wrapped himself around both of them. Nate looked back over his shoulders and saw nothing but tentacles. Thick cables of muscle filled the window, each one flailing at the sky. And deep inside the twisting mass, just for a moment, he glimpsed something else. Not shadows. Whatever he saw at the center of the tentacles gleamed like an unlit pool or a mirror of dark glass. The beast was still at least 60 or 70 yards away, so what he saw had to be huge, 30 or 40 feet across at least. Then Veek dragged him to the floor and they covered their heads. The window exploded as the creature flew by. Its bulk hid its speed, like a freight train or jumbo jet. Glass flew across the apartment and hit the furniture like flying blades.
Hunt you, kill you, eat you, prey, food, feed, feed.
The air roared around them as a tornado smashed through the apartment. Plates and silverware whipped out of the sink to smash themselves against the walls and floor. The couch slid halfway across the room, dragging Andrew with it. Clive's tool chest swung away from the wall and rolled a few feet before it tipped over and crashed to the floor next to him and the two women in his arms. The loft creaked, leaned, and collapsed. The kitchen table threw itself against the far wall.
Food for me, my servants, my mortals, my food, my prey.
Veek threw her hands over her ears and Nate wrapped his arms around her head and shoulders. He wasn't sure where the words were coming from. Was he hearing them over the wind or feeling the vibration of them in his gut? There was blood on his arm. A shard of window stuck out near his elbow. The old woman rolled back to her knees. She was laughing. Nate couldn't hear her, but he could see her wide lips flapping up and down below joyful eyes. A piece of glass the size of a pizza slice appeared in her head and her lips stopped. She fell forward and the glass cracked apart as her head hit the floor. The building rocked with earthquake force. Plaster cracked in the roof and rained down on them. The floor shuddered. One of the bookshelves, picked clean by the wind, crashed down on top of Roger and Zila.
My food, my prey, my cattle, mine.
The words crushed them. Blood ran out between Veek's fingers. Nate felt wetness across his lips and figured his nose was bleeding. He squeezed his eyes tight and tears rolled down his cheeks. The roar of wind died down. The scraps of dirt and paper swirling around the room settled down to the floor. Nate released Veek and met her wide eyes. Gobs of blood were under her nose and ears. There were trails of it from her eyes and a small line along the bottom of her glasses. She'd cried blood. Veek reached up and dabbed his cheeks. Her fingers came away red. He'd been bleeding too. He squeezed her arm and gave her forehead a quick kiss. It was the only part of her face without gore on it. "Is everyone okay?" he called out. A few people winced, and Nate realized he was shouting after the onslaught of noise. He dropped his voice a few decibels and tried again. "Anybody hurt?" Clive unwrapped himself from Debbie, and they both stuck their thumbs up. Both of them had streaks of red coming from their nose and mouth. Mandy had pulled herself into a ball between them, but Nate saw blood on her ears. He looked over at Tim. He looked like the monster in a hardcore vampire movie. Dark blood covered the lower half of his face and soaked the chest of his t-shirt. He'd tucked one pistol into his belt and had the other one back on Andrew. He gave Nate a nod and a thumbs up. "More new windows," muttered Oscar. He wiped the back of his hand under his nose and smeared blood across his upper lip and cheek. The bookshelf shifted as Roger and Zila pushed it off themselves. He had a gash on his arm and the start of a bruise across his forehead. A knife-sized piece of window glass stuck out of Zila's thigh, but it didn't seem to be bleeding much. They both had blood on their faces.
"What was that?" yelled Roger. "What the fuck was that?"
Andrew cleared his throat. There were a few spots of blood under his nose, but not much.
"Auntie Bradbury's dead, if anyone cares."
"We don't," said Tim. "Shut up."
"We're dead," said Clive. "That thing's going to come back and—"
"Hang on," said Nate. "Let's not give up yet."
"Quiet," snapped Oscar. "All of you."
His volume brought him a moment of silence. It occurred to Nate that it was too quiet, but he wasn't sure why.
"Now, listen to me," Oscar said. "We will all be safe. There is a way to fix this, to get back to our side. We just—"
A thick tentacle smashed through the remains of the windows, wrapped around his head, and dragged him away.